Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark millennial Ben presented by Breaks Plus. We'll get to it in just a second. Let me just finish that thought. There's just no way. This was a perfect case of a league who understands that with the spike in COVID cases going on around the country and the very real possibility that over the next few weeks they could be looking at a large number of games that are jeopardized in terms of being able to be played. And they're looking at their season, and they're worried about whether or not this thing's going to get finished. And all the TV revenue and all the billions of dollars in TV contracts that are on the line. They see this possibility, and I think they're starting to panic a little bit. And they looked at the Broncos situation and said, here's a way to deliver a message.
Right.
And this is the perfect patsy to use. The Denver Broncos. But if you think they're doing that to Tampa and Kansas City, no way. No way.
I agree. If that exact same scenario happened to the Kansas City Chiefs, they're playing on Tuesday. And they're hoping that everybody passes, you know, the protocols, everybody passes their COVID test, boom, here you go. When do we need to play? But again, you are where you are. In the league right now, because of the decisions you have made, the personnel decisions, the coaching decisions. Come on now. I mean, you hired Vance Joseph. You hired Vic Fangio. You've made those decisions. You have botched the first round. You have botched the second and third round. Your roster's not deep enough. You have made free agent decisions that haven't panned out. You are where you are because of those decisions that you've made.
Yep.
Own it.
Yep. You made yourself the perfect patsy. I mean, if we're all in agreement that this doesn't happen to Tampa or Kansas City, well, does this happen to the 2015 Broncos? Does this happen to any of the Peyton Manning-led Bronco teams?
Nope.
You really think that the NFL would wipe out a Bronco game with Peyton Manning in that room? No way. No way.
He's must-see television.
No way.
He's guaranteed rating bonanza. Patrick Mahomes is a guaranteed rating bonanza. You think, well, hey, wait a minute. They're in partnership with the TV networks. You think they're just saying, hey, you know, we're going to go ahead and forfeit this game when the TV networks pay $1 billion a year to have the games? And there's a partnership there.
And I know we're getting you guys are homers text. Okay.
Wait a minute.
I asked the question to you, a texter. You say you were full of crap. Okay. So I throw the question back to you, texter. You believe that they would have, the NFL would have stepped in and said, sorry, Kansas City. Sorry, Tampa Bay. Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, even though they haven't tested positive, they were around the backup quarterback who did. And as a result, you guys can't play. Come on.
And here's the other thing. Oh, how can you sit here and say we're homers when we're holding the organization responsible? I'm not blaming the league for what they did. I'm holding the organization responsible. I'm saying it would be a different result if it was a team that was relevant, if it was a playoff team, if it was a team that was going to get a guaranteed afternoon rating. So, I mean, what's gone on here in the last few years is it's not good enough. This is the Denver Broncos, man. It is not good enough.
All right, let's get to question mark presented by Breaks Plus. Then there's a question for me that we need to address.
Question Mike.
Yep, there's one.
Okay.
But first for you.
Yeah.
And you're right. Lost in all of this is the fact that Garrett Bowles got a contract extension.
Yeah. How about that?
Got a new deal, and we've had some people throughout the morning have wondered what you thought of that.
I think it's good for Garrett Bowles. I mean, I think it's good for the Broncos too. Garrett Bowles has played really good football. Now, you know, obviously because they didn't pick up the fifth year option, they didn't believe in Garrett Bowles before this season. And in 10 games, he changed their minds. You know, you're allowed. Pat Shurmur said this to me the other day when I was talking to him. You're allowed to get better. You're allowed to improve. And that's exactly what Garrett Bowles did. And he changed his attitude. Here's what I'm most proud about Garrett Bowles. He went from being a victim. Remember last year when he said, I believe the officials are targeting me? Remember that garbage? Do you remember that? To what did he say last week? Man, the fans have kicked me in the butt and I deserved it and I went to work to get better. You're allowed to get better. I've said it from day one. I had somebody reach out to me because I said it on the broadcast. Garrett Bowles is one of the most exceptional athletes in the National Football League. I said that when he was drafted. I have never changed my opinion on what went down. He was awful for his first three seasons. He's been exceptional this year. Good for him. He's worked his butt off. He's looked at himself in the mirror and taken that responsibility seriously, and he improved. Good. And by the way, based upon your free agent acquisitions and you know your drafting of players at that position, best to find a guy that can play, and we've talked about this a bunch. If you can find a guy that can play, it's best to get that guy signed.
They need more good players. They don't have many good players. They need more good players.
Mm-hmm.
So the last thing you want to do is allow good players like Garrett Bowles or Justin Simmons, he's the next one that needs to get done, to go. The last thing this franchise can afford right now is to lose good players and have to then go out and replace those good players when you already have other positions you need to fill and find good players.
Right.
So the fact that they were able to get a deal, it was a win-win for both sides. They probably got a bit of a hometown discount. Bowlesy got long-term security.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was smart. You kind of thought maybe he'd be smart to bet on himself and play out the season and go into free agency, see what happens.
Right.
I thought, hey, this is the NFL. Six games left. All kinds of things can happen. Injuries. It can be over in a blink. So take the money while you can. So I think it worked out for both sides.
Yeah,
it's a good move for both sides.
Yeah, I think it is. I definitely think it is. I think you probably could have gotten more money had you decided to wait, but hey man, you just got, I mean.
Was he fourth highest paid now? Fourth highest paid tackle?
You got life changing, multi-generational money to play football. Congratulations. Definitely played in the wrong era, Mike.
Yeah, oh boy, didn't you?
Oh, shoot.
Hey, look at it this way. You helped pave the way.
No.
You were you walked so he could run.
Yeah.
All these guards that are getting paid now, they owe you a
debt of gratitude.
Debt of gratitude.
No,
here's a side question, Evans here, from Martin and Greeley. Evans, how big was the bird that flew into your house on Wednesday? Is it still there? Did you use your big head to scare it away? For those who missed it, so you and I were joining the drive during the war room on Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. And we went a little bonus time, so we were on at like 6:05 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing the show. I was set up remotely. I was doing the show from my living room.
Right.
And in the kitchen, my lovely wife Krista was hard at work. Preparing for Thanksgiving dinner the next day. As this was happening, as this was all going down, a bird, my daughter took our little puppy out for a walk, and
is that your daughter?
A bird was hanging around our door, and the bird flew in. And this is how it sounded live on the air on Wednesday.
Yeah, if you're telling me I can have Vaughn on a team friendly and incentive laden deal. Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's not me. My daughter came in. Yeah, there's now a bird flying around my house. Okay, there is a bird flying in my house.
You got a bird! You got a bird!
And the women are freaking out right now.
You gotta know, we just had to dump your daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. That was my wife.
Well, that was your wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well,
hey, tell Potty Mouth to lock yourself in the bathroom or something.
This has got to be a first in the 25 years of the fan history where we've had to hit the dump button on one of the host's wives
multiple times.
It's I'm staring right now. I'm literally staring at a bird who is perched out in my living room right now.
So there you go.
Is this a signal for you to go right now, Mike?
Yeah, I probably need
goodbye?
To. You know, it's kind of like the squirrel in Christmas Vacation. We got to get out of the house now.
All right.
Oh my God. All right, that's enough. You can drop it out. Yeah. My wife just like went, oh bleep, twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had to dump her.
Did you wash your mouth out with soap?
I know. I was like, honey, come on now.
How big was the bird?
So, I mean, the bird was, it was like a regulation-sized bird. It wasn't like one of those big black birds, you know. That
yeah,
you
it was
sometimes.
Like a crow.
Right, you know, but it wasn't like a little, you know, wasn't like a little sparrow type thing. It was a bird.
What's the famous, is it Edgar Allan Poe that wrote The Raven?
Yeah.
I wonder if this is how it started.
Yeah, or, you know, like it was like a Hitchcock movie.
Right.
You know, it was
birds.
It was like the birds, right?
Yeah.
So here's the funny thing. So I'm like, how do I get a bird out of my house, right?
Right.
So I'm like, well, I got to find a way to trap it somehow, you know?
Ooh,
so I go into my garage and I'm looking around and what do you know? There's one of those like fishing nets in the corner.
Yeah.
Never caught a fish with it.
No.
I don't even know how we got it, but I can promise you I've never caught a fish with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I'll try it. So I sort of, chased the bird around a little bit. Finally, it settled in a spot where I could kind of like, you know, oh, we're hunting rabbits. You know?
Yeah, you could Elmer Fudd that thing.
I kind of Elmer Fudded it, and I kind of snuck up on it, and then I quickly smashed, reached out with the net, and I trapped the bird.
Uh-huh.
And then what I did was I trapped it up against a wreath.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the wreath off the hook, and then I walked outside with the bird sort of pressed up against the wreath, went outside, and then released the bird. I said, fly, bird, fly! And he took off.
He did?
And he left. And so he was returned to nature humanely.
Do you think he came back to the house and they like brought other birds and said, this guy is a hero?
Well, I hope he spreads the word. The last thing I want is angry birds. You know,
but what if you get a bunch of happy birds just pooping all over your yard and in your driveway?
I would think that would be the actions of angry birds. I don't want angry birds. I want happy birds. I want a reputation in the neighborhood as being bird friendly.
You should get a sign that says this is a bird friendly house. Don't you think?
Yeah. So anyway,
just let the birds know.
That's what happened.
Well, good for you, man. That was a great story. Bird trapping.
But I'm like on the air, and my wife is just, oh, bleep! Oh, bleep!
Yeah.
You know, screaming.
Yeah.
I'm like, relax.
Calm down.
Relax. It's just
it's a
bird.
Bird.
I don't know.
Relax. It's 2020.
Exactly. That's what I was like.
You know, it's 2020.
Relax.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Give me a scotch here while I go track down this bird. I got this. No panic.
What are the odds you just walk into your garage and there just happens to be a fishing net?
Exactly.
There. How many times?
That was very serendipitous.
How many times in the last couple of years have you gone fishing? Seriously.
Oh, I don't know, 5-6 times.
Oh, so you have gone fishing.
I've gone fishing.
Okay.
But I've never, like, when I fish, you know, it's cast, worm, bobber, beer.
Right.
And maybe doze off. Okay.
Right.
I'm not really consumed with catching fish. So do you think I bring a fishing net with me? No.
Right.
My son must have picked it up somewhere. But it came in handy. I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have the fishing net. I don't know how I would have got the bird out of there.
I am undefeated when I go fishing. How so? I mean, I either go to Costco or to King Supers.
They're
always right there. I just grab them.
Last time you were in Alaska, you brought
I did slay some fish last time I was in Alaska.
Fish home. That stuff was good.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, that is the moral of that story. Let's get to some reaction to what went down. So let's just kind of sum it up for those who are just kind of joining the conversation. Did the Broncos get a raw deal in all of this? Were they used as an example by the NFL?
I think that's two entirely separate questions.
Okay.
Were they used by the NFL as a, as a example? Yeah, absolutely. Did they get a raw deal? I think those are two entirely separate questions.
Okay.
Do I think they were used? Yes, I do. I think they were used. I think they were used as an example to the rest of the league, follow the damn protocols or suffer the consequences. But was it unfair? I think you put yourself in a position for the league to react. I think you put yourself in a position for the last 5 years for the league to react. And then you put yourself in a position after new protocols were sent to every team, after you've discussed the new protocols, 3 days later, you're violating the new protocols. Now, again, not malicious. It wasn't, they weren't thumbing their, they weren't waving their middle finger to the league. It just was one of those things that was lack of, lack of common sense, lack of, of vigilance, lack of whatever. It was just a moment of being slack and not paying attention. And it cost your football team. And that's, that's unfortunate.
But the unfair question is a fair question to ask, only because do you think that this would have happened? Every team across the board in the NFL would have been treated exactly the same way.
No.
Then it wasn't fair. Then what happened to them was unfair. Now they put themselves in a position with the way that they've performed and conducted business the last several years.
Correct.
To be treated unfairly.
Correct.
But they were treated unfairly.
Yeah, I have a tough time because obviously, I played the NFL, and I know there is a sliding scale of justice based upon where you fit on the roster. I know that there is more grace extended to really good players than to the bottom 51, 52, or 53 on the roster. Those guys are made examples of. I mean, let's be honest. Has it happened here in Denver? Has it happened on all 32 teams?
Mm-hmm.
Has somebody become a sacrificial lamb? And has somebody else received grace? If you're a really good player, no matter how many times you screw up and you're still really good, guess what? Antonio Brown gets another job, doesn't he? Right? Until he's no longer viable, until his talent does not weigh the headache that he is, he'll continue to find work. Now, if you're the 53rd guy on the roster and you make stupid mistakes like he makes, or you make stupid decisions, not mistakes, decisions that he makes, guess what? You'll never play again. So, I mean, understand the structure of the league. That's how the league works.
Well, and newsflash, and if you think that everybody and every team is treated equally, you haven't been paying attention. We just got done with the NBA playoffs,
mm-hmm.
where we were talking about this during the Nuggets-Lakers series. And everybody here was crying about the officiating. And we tried to tell you, this is the way it is.
Right.
There is a sliding scale.
Mm-hmm.
There is favoritism. There is something to the idea that you're LeBron and you play in a market like L.A. and you're Denver. It's just the way it is.
Right.
So don't be shocked
when you get yet another reminder that there are different rules in place for different players, different teams. And if you're unfortunately one of the have-nots, these are the kind of things that happen.
Yeah.
But it is unfair.
Well,
it's unfair. It's unfair that LeBron James can do the same thing as Nikola Jokic, and LeBron James doesn't get called for a foul, and Nikola Jokic does. Is it unfair? Yes.
Right.
But welcome to the real world.
Right. It's like your mom and dad said to you all the time. Every one of us, I'm sure every one of us at one time, and I've said it as a parent as well, hey, life ain't fair. It's not. And here's, you know, where you find yourself. You're in the midst of a 5-year slide?
Mm-hmm.
Where you have it, you've lost your relevance.
Was it unfair? Yeah. But you are responsible for putting yourself in a position to be treated unfairly. I think that's the best way to sum all this up. Somebody asked, what exactly were the protocols that the Broncos violated? They were in a room together, which they were given, based on our understanding, is they were given permission to be in that room together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big room, and they were observing social distancing rules. They were also wearing masks, but they acknowledged, well, read right from Drew Locke's statement. I can attest that our entire team has taken the COVID-19 pandemic seriously, following all the rules to keep each other safe. We are tested daily, get quick results, and are confident our facility is a safe environment for everyone. In a controlled and socially distanced area, we let our masking slip for a limited amount of time, an honest mistake, but one I will own. Sincerely apologize, and I fully understand why these safety precautions are so important. Doing the right thing for a majority of the time is not good enough. So there you go. That's why they got their quarterback room wiped out.
Yeah.
And that's why, do you understand now why I keep saying this feels like you get pulled over for a speeding ticket going 59 and a 55? Yes, you were speeding. Yes, it's against the rules, but is it really worth it? Was this worth it? Did the punishment fit the crime?
No. It didn't. But again,
there are rules,
right?
And for a league that is increasingly worried about their ability, hey, in case you missed it, the Ravens closed down their facility again today. No practice. They're supposed to play in Pittsburgh tomorrow night.
Right.
They've already had their game moved twice. It's looking more and more like this could be put into a week 18, new week that's set aside, week 18 set aside for, and there could be more of these games.
Yeah.
And I think the NFL is increasingly worried about the ability to finish this season the way they want to. And so, yeah, if they have a situation like this that pops up with the Broncos, come on. You don't think that there's conversations in a room that are like, well, hey, we got to think of the big picture here, and this is a chance for us to set an example, send a message.
Right. And still get this game in.
And still get the game in.
Because they are trying to get, how many games are there? 267 games?
Mm-hmm.
They're hell-bent for election to get all 267.
Exactly.
That's what they're doing. And so,
they're not worried about competitive balance, by the way. Because if you're one of those NFC teams that are trying to make the playoffs.
Right.
Or you've got tiebreakers or whatever.
Well,
and you're seeing the Saints being given a victory like this. You know, there's part of you that's like, whoa, hey, what the heck?
Home field advantage, there's only one team that gets a bye week. You just gave the Saints, essentially a forfeit. So yeah.
But they don't care about that stuff.
Mm-mm.
They don't.
Hey, this is a...
this is about dollars. This is about TV dollars.
And this is 2020. And normal rules or normal standards do not apply.
Right. They're going to push through. This league is going to push through, and they're going to get these games in no matter how. All right. Lottery Act 2. We'll get to your text coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, let's get to some reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. By the way, for those of you who were wondering, Mark did get in the phrase, it pays. I think it is so cool that here you are in the midst of calling a game for Fox. You're technically calling, you know, like a national game type thing.
Right.
And yet you take that moment just to think of your listeners. You just take that time to say something. Did your play-by-play partner understand what you were doing? Did you give him a heads up? Because I think he was kind of like, what's this mud thing you're talking about? He was kind of like thrown off by it.
No.
Right. So he was kind of like, why are you? Well, here's how it sounded. Here's how it sounded during the broadcast.
I mean, you got to hold your mud, right?
Traquan Smith.
I mean, when you're a wide receiver, you're not involved. I mean, you're not down there in the trenches. You can't fall for the quarterback hard count. Traquan Smith, you got to hold your mud. You can't hold your mud on that one. You got to come on. You're a wide receiver. Look at the ball. That's your job. That's what your task to do.
Adam had kind of like a little nervous laughter there, going like, "What is this?
What is he
mud?
Talking
What's
about?
This mud thing you speak of?"
Yeah.
And I was cracking up because I could tell he didn't know. And all you were doing was just giving a nod to all of the listeners. I thought that was so cool.
You can't hold your mud.
Yeah.
You're a bleeder.
You're a bleeder. Should have put that in there. You're a bleeder.
It was so...
Brad.
It was just ours. You know, it was just our moment.
It was our moment.
And all of our listeners. It was just our moment.
That's right. That's what we do this, you know, to entertain ourselves. I'm in this business simply to entertain myself. And listen, there's plenty of people who don't like me. That's fine. I don't care. It's not like that's not my concern.
You had, by the way, you had a tremendous run in that first half. You got into the whole Step Brothers thing.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Bunk beds.
The
Love
bunk
that.
Beds.
That
yeah.
was great.
Yeah.
You got a poolside mention in.
Right.
I was like, wow. This
Ode
is
to
a,
my father.
This is a bonus. We got a poolside reference in.
Right.
The only thing you didn't do, you didn't explain poolside. That's the only thing I would have done different. I would have explained, because I would have had Adam say, why do you call him poolside? And then you tell that, you weave that story into the broadcast, because that's awesome.
Yeah, you know what? It's probably a good point. That's probably a good point. But it was my father's nickname, poolside.
Yeah, and then you got into the whole hold your mud thing. It was tremendous. It was just world-class broadcasting.
Well, I don't know about world-class. Again, it was just about entertaining myself.
Exactly.
In a game where there wasn't a lot to be entertained from on both sides of the ball offensively. I mean, that was pretty, I would call it, I think bad football would be kind of an insult to bad football. That was Dreck-worthy football.
Was it the worst game in Bronco history? How about that? How about I toss that one?
Wow.
Was it the worst? When you consider everything that went into this, was it the worst game in Broncos history?
I don't know about that because I thought defensively, they played very well, but was it that they played really well or was it that Taysom Hill just was not very good? I mean, I thought they played really, I thought until attrition took over because the Broncos had, how many snaps did the Broncos have in that game? At one point in the fourth quarter, I think they had 30 snaps offensively. You have their offensive snap count?
Yeah, I do. Hold on a second. Benny, can I get some efforting
music? Oh, this would be great. We haven't really needed efforting music very often.
Yeah, when you look at the Broncos' offensive numbers, they had 6 first downs. They were 1 for 10 on third down.
Mm-hmm.
They had 112 total yards of offense.
Oof.
They ran 43 plays. They averaged 2.6 yards per play.
How many plays did they have?
Not Brandon Allen bad, but still pretty bad.
How many plays did they have again?
43.
By the way, Allentown battled yesterday for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Come on, does that surprise you? He's a gamer.
He's a gamer. You're right. He's a gamer.
He's a gamer. Boy, I missed Brandon Allen yesterday. That's for sure.
Gosh, could you imagine?
I would have taken me some Brandon Allen.
Brandon Allen would have been awesome.
Here's a great text. Guys, this is why the NFL can never come out and honestly say they care about player safety. How can you say they care when Hinton was getting hit, running backs were being targeted? They don't care about safety of players at all. It's a good point. That's a great point. Those guys were sitting ducks back there. I mean, seriously, you know, you're Philip Lindsay, you're Royce Freeman, you're Kendall Hinton, you're Melvin Gordon. I mean, come on. What do you think those defensive players are? They're just like licking their chops.
There was 8-9 guys in the box at all times. Like, it was one of those games where it was just all about, you know, all about that stopping the run and, you know, dominating the line of scrimmage. And I tell you what, those defensive players, the Saints defense, licking their chops. DeMario Davis, he was just out there having tackling practice. That's what that was. Run around and have tackling practice. It's going to be great. It was ugly. There's no question about that. But I don't know that is a player safety. Like, the player safety thing would be if the Baltimore Ravens actually play tonight, having not practiced since last Saturday, that might be more of a player safety thing than this game. It's not like the practice squad players weren't practicing. You know what I'm saying? It's not like the running backs aren't running backs. I mean, they're just running plays. Player safety, hell, there were only 43 plays on offense. I mean, that's about as safe as you can get. You played a half yesterday.
By the way, do you believe the Steelers and Ravens will play tomorrow?
I'm not going to say I'd be shocked, but I would be, let's call it surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised.
Okay. Yeah, the latest news there is that the Ravens had to shut down their facility again. Again, not practicing today. They're supposed to fly out to Pittsburgh for their game tomorrow. Fly out tomorrow. But there's weather in the Pittsburgh area, so, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? That may be moved a third time. Okay, much more reaction, including what is next for the Bronco quarterbacks. That is coming up next. All right, some more reaction on this Bronco Reaction Monday, but nobody really talking about the game, just whether or not that game should have even been played. Brandon says, guys, I think everyone looks at this the wrong way. As a Bronco fan, I couldn't care less about that they screwed the Broncos. It is more about the competitive balance in the NFL. What about those teams that are looking up at the Saints in the standings that actually had to go out there and earn their victories? How would you feel if you had to earn your victory yet you watch the NFL essentially give the Saints a free win?
I think that's a fair point. I mean, if you're the Seahawks fighting for that number one seed, if you're Well, the Rams lost yesterday, but, you know, if you're one of the teams fighting for a number one overall seed and the Saints basically had a layup, I mean, think about the way Sean Payton called that game. How many attempts did Taysom Hill even have? I mean, he called that game like, well.
He was 9 of 16.
9 of 16. He called that game like there's no real reason to be aggressive.
Yeah,
with
we're
this.
Not taking any chances.
We're going to win this game regardless. I don't care if we win it 3-0. They can't score. They can't score on our defense, not with their quarterback situation. So we're going to be super conservative. We turn them over, get a couple short fields, we score. End of story. At the half, 17-0, that game was over. They could have just called it. The Broncos weren't going to score unless defensively they managed to get some type of a scoop and score on a fumble. The offense wasn't going to score. That game was over.
You know, to the question about what do you tell those teams? I don't think you tell them anything. I think once you've spent about 10 minutes in the NFL, you understand it's a business, and anybody connected with the NFL understands in this season, 2020, the NFL is just about pushing through,
right,
powering through. You think they're worrying about competitive balance? This is the league that I think is fully prepared to hand out playoff spots with the understanding that some teams may play 15 games and some play 16. If it comes to that.
Right.
I think they're prepared to do that.
I agree.
And if it means a team ends up getting screwed, their response will be shrug our shoulders. Oh, well. We got our season in.
Yeah, should have handled your business. But Troy Rink said it on the show earlier in the program. You know what he said? If they were worried about competitive balance, they would have forfeited the Jets' season.
That's right. Here's another one. Guys, this just shows you get what you deserve unless you have a high-profile quarterback. Then you get whatever you want. Total hypocrisy league. Yeah. The Broncos are not blameless, okay? They created this situation to make themselves irrelevant and a patsy in the eyes of the NFL. But just because they've done that doesn't obscure the fact that what happened to them was unfair. And I'm sorry, the same would not apply to every team in the NFL.
Correct.
I refuse to believe that if this happened in the Kansas City quarterback room or the Tampa Bay quarterback room, that the same thing would have happened to those teams. I refuse to believe that. Peter in Minnesota. Whatever happened to the captain going down with the ship idea? I swear if I hear Vic Fangio blame someone else on the team and not take responsibility himself, I'm going to throw up. The guy only believes death by inches as long as it's applied to someone other than himself. Here's what he had to say, and I want to ask you something about this quote. Here's what he had to say yesterday about his reaction to what went down.
Well, I was disappointed on a couple levels in that our quarterbacks put us in this position. We count on them to be the leaders of the team and, you know, leaders of the offense, and those guys made a mistake. And that is disappointing. Obviously, I haven't done a good enough job of selling the protocols to them.
So he did include himself at the end there, but I'm just kind of curious, moving forward now, will there be any consequences in the locker room to Vic's comments like that? Is that shades of Brian Shaw when he coached the Nuggets and just lambasting the players all the time into the media?
This has been kind of standard, Mike. When Vic talks about things in the media, and he talks about the fact that, hey, you know, Rick Scangarello, you know, wanted to sit on it, but I said, let's go for it.
Tom McMahon. Talked me out of...
Yeah.
Kicking the field goal.
You know, I mean, I know there are many others that I am forgetting off the top of my head right now, but you know, ultimately, if you want to get into your team meeting and rip the quarterbacks for not following protocol, that's great. But you know, I go back to my career under Joe Gibbs. And Joe Gibbs, if we didn't play well, he'd rip us. Like he'd rip us about the way we played after the game. And then he would ultimately, you know, he'd be upset or whatever, but he would ultimately take responsibility. He would say, we didn't do, like, before he ripped us, his first thing he would say was, we didn't do a good enough job coaching you guys, and we'll rectify that. But when he talked to the media, he took 100% responsibility. If we didn't play well, he took 100% responsibility. I did not get my guys prepared. My coaches did not get our team prepared to play, and we will fix it. Like always, he never, ever individually threw a player out there by name. He never talked about it. That was in-house stuff. If we didn't play well enough, that was in-house stuff, but never, ever in front of the media.
One more text comes in here. Guys, just want to remind everyone that as badly as Kendall Hinton played, he did have one more NFL completion yesterday than Paxton Lynch did.
Oh! That's a good point.
Wait a minute.
Kendall Hinton was playing quarterback in the NFL yesterday. Something that Paxton Lynch can't say he was doing.
At any time during that game, did you long for the days, the halcyon days of Paxton Lynch?
Dude, I was longing for the days of Tim Tebow.
Oof.
That's how bad it was.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
Man.
Suddenly,
sorry about that.
2 for 8 for 69 yards doesn't seem so bad.
No.
By the way, you can win probably a great bar bet with this one. In that game that against Kansas City, in which the Broncos won,
mm-hmm.
wire to wire, by the way, and Tim Tebow was 2 of 8. Can you name the two receivers who caught passes?
Eric Decker's one.
Eric Decker. Everyone remembers that one because it was a long one. Touchdown. Can you remember? This is where you can win a lot of bets.
Was it the fullback?
No, it was.
Spencer Larson or whatever.
No, it was a receiver. The immortal Matt Willis.
What you talking about, Willis? Matt Willis. I don't even remember Matt Willis.
Oh, there you go. That's why you'll...
Matt Willis.
Probably be able to win that bet.
Yeah.
All right. Paxton Lynch smear campaign. Benny, day number... 2099?
Oh,
tomorrow's epic. That's a big
tomorrow's
one tomorrow.
Epic.
We got to make it a good one tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. All right, we're done. Thank you, everybody. We turn things over to Sandy and the Big O next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.